This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to Not Always Polite. If you have already listened to the first episode I've posted for the weekend, you already know that I have strep, that I had a good holiday, blah, blah, blah. If not, go back and listen to that episode because I have two shorter cases that I'm posting this week. If you want to. If not, hey, how are you? We're going to talk about the unsolved murder of Simone Sandler today on this episode. And I'll get right on into it. Simone Sandler was 21 years old, and she was last seen on Saturday, July 23rd, 1994, in the area of Yonge Street and Gerrard Street in Toronto. Simone was working for a company that no longer exists. It was a casting company called Actors and Models Studio near the Eaton Centre. The afternoon she went missing, she was trying to recruit passersby to serve as extras in a film. When Simone's parents, Linda and Stephen, notified the police on July 24th that their daughter failed to return home the prior evening, the York Regional Police believed that Simone had merely skipped her curfew on purpose and was out, quote, living it up. As a result, they failed to notify the Toronto Police Service, and the investigation into Simone's disappearance did not begin for a week, an entirety in a missing persons case. At approximately 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 30th, 1994, the police responded to a 911 call from Lakeshore Boulevard East and Don Roadway. Simone's badly decomposed body had been spotted floating in the Keating Channel waterway, by a couple passing by in a vehicle. Simone was naked from the waist down. Her body was beaten and bloated from its time in the water. The police discovered that a green garbage bag had been knotted around Simone's neck. The autopsy later revealed that she died of strangulation. Since Simone's murder, the Toronto police have reportedly interviewed over 100 people and have traveled to Vancouver, Saskatoon, and Northern Ontario to look for answers. Even though the police have offered a $100,000 reward in 1998 for information leading to the conviction of Simone's murderer, the case remains unsolved to this day. So basically, the theories are very, difficult to come up with in this case. The police have said that there are, quote, no motive, no suspects or leads. Either way, I'll talk about the theories that are out there. So the first, Simone had just completed her first year in hospitality and tourism at Humber College when she began recruiting extras in a somewhat sketchy area of downtown Toronto. Simone was from Thornhill, which is a suburb of Toronto, and according to her parents, she lived a sheltered life and lacked street smarts. While working downtown, Simone had formed friendships with the homeless people and so-called social misfits that often frequented the area surrounding the Eaton Centre. She had even started dating a, quote, tattooed but attractive young man named, quote, Joe, who was a year older than Simone. According to some accounts, Simone and Joe broke up around a week before she disappeared. Other witnesses, though, reported seeing them holding hands shortly before her disappearance. Considering that most women who are murdered are killed by a partner or someone close to them, it's not hard to wonder if Joe played a role in Simone's death. However, it's important to note that the police never indicated Joe as a suspect in her death, even after extensive questioning. Joe has no doubt had to live in the shadow of suspicion for all these years, which, if he was not involved in Simone's murder, makes him a victim as well. When Simone spent time with her new group of reportedly, quote, lower-class friends, she often attended get-togethers in, quote, the wooded areas off Cherry Beach to smoke marijuana around sandpit bonfires. The police later discovered that Simone was at one of these parties the night she disappeared. Was Simone killed by someone at the party? If she was, the police would have never been able to prove it, and the party attendees are not talking. Given forensic advances, you would think that something could now be taken from evidence the police collected from Simone's body and her belongings found at the scene. However, the time someone's body and belongings spent in the water washed away most potential evidence. Forensic specialists even separated every knot made in the green plastic bag used to strangle Simone in an attempt to locate new evidence to forensically test, but they had no luck. Years after Simone's murder, the police stated that the autopsy had found evidence of, quote, an unsuccessful attempt at rape. I'm not sure what kind of evidence this could have been, but clearly it would have been tested by now and must have been of no evidentiary value. So we're left thinking that it would take a witness coming forward with new information to move the case forward. Simone has been described as, quote, sweet, pretty, and shy, and trusting. She loved to pose for pictures, bake carrot muffins, and work out at the YMCA. No doubt her tragic loss has irrevocably broken the hearts of her loved ones. Her parents, Linda and Steven, still seek justice for their daughter. They told the media, quote, someone should not be getting away with this. If the police do find the killer, it will at least give us some closure. Unless someone comes forward to provide the evidence the police need to have a break in the case, it's unlikely the Sandlers will ever find the closure that they're looking for. If you have any information regarding this case, please contact the Toronto Regional Police at 416-808-7400, or you can call Crime Stoppers at 416-222-8477 or on their website, www.22tips.com. And that is all I have for you guys this week. Please check out my Instagram at NotAlwaysPolite and leave me a review wherever you're listening. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and I'll catch you guys next time. Bye.